It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Due to a public holiday falling on Monday, Sherry has her weekly chat with Green Party co-leader James Shaw today. James responds to questions regarding COVID-19 tertiary support given to the rest homes and a greener infrastructure response post-COVID-19. Sherry begins by asking James on the numerous lockdown breaches over the Easter weekend and public compliance for the next few weeks.
I actually think that this weekend, next week, in some ways are going to be harder than the first 2 weeks because, I mean, you know, for some people being at home for 2 weeks is a bit of a novelty, but after 3 weeks, it really does start to grate. And so I think people's mood will sour. The other thing, of course, is that ironically, because the strategy is working and our number of new cases each day is dropping, people will start to think, well, you know, I don't need to be so strict about self-isolating. Maybe I can kind of bend the rules or something like that. And I think that will be the hardest thing, is actually to kind of stay the course and kind of for us to maintain the kind of discipline we need as a country for the full 4 week period, so that we can actually make sure that the strategy works, because in some ways this is the period of maximum danger. If we lighten up and people start moving around now, you could see exponential outbreaks even after sort of 3 or 4 weeks have passed.
And yeah, we're also seeing, obviously this is a really difficult time for a lot of family members who are apart from each other. And yeah, I saw that there was a call for people to better visit their dying relatives who may be in rest homes. However, one of the most deadliest outbreaks has also been at a rest home. So I was wondering if that was something, you know, in terms of rules, is that something that we're going to see relaxing?
Well, I mean, the Prime Minister's been very clear that we need to maintain the settings that we've got at the moment. And in fact, in some ways, we've even tightened them up, because we moved from a situation where we had people arriving back home in New Zealand going into self-isolation at home. Now we've said actually every single person, no matter what your circumstances, coming home is going to go into quarantine and in a hotel for 2 weeks until we're absolutely sure they're clear. And so kind of settings that we've got are really on the best advice of the health officials and the scientists to say, how do you break the chain of community transmission? You know, it is incredibly hard for those families, kind of losing loved ones at the moment, not to be able to visit them. But ultimately, if we allow too many instances of people coming into contact with each other, then there's every chance that the virus will kick back up again, and we'll actually end up having to stay in this level 4 lockdown for even longer.
Are we seeing adequate amount of support for rest homes?
Yeah, look, my understanding is that there's no shortage of equipment and so on, but there have been issues to do with delivery. So there have been kind of logistical problems in, you know, getting things like, you know, personal protective equipment out to people in some parts of the country. And I know that that's something that the Prime Minister is taking a personal lead on to clean up and make sure that that people get the resources that they need. It's certainly not because they haven't been allocated or they aren't there. The resources are definitely there.
And a different thing I wanted to touch on as well. Yesterday we saw tertiary support being announced in terms of extending the student loan that you can now borrow up to $2,000. However, a lot of students have been quite disappointed in that. The tertiary student are the only demographic in which their COVID-19 support is still a loan. So I was wondering if you think that there is adequate enough support for students at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I know the package released yesterday was limited, and it is really tough for students given, you know, most students were kind of earning income from the hospitality sector, which is completely shut down. I think it's really important that people are accessing other support, though, and I suspect that isn't happening. So it's really important that people know that they should be getting the wage subsidy scheme. So if, for example, you had a part-time job in a cafe or a restaurant, then that cafe and restaurant should be able to get a wage subsidy, and that wage subsidy should be being passed on to the student. And because it was deliberately set up to make sure that casual workers would be able to qualify for it as well. So the wage subsidies are $585.80 for people who are working more than 20 hours a week and $350 for people who are working under 20 hours a week. And that really should, like, students should be getting that. And if they're not, you know, they need to kind of let people know. And of course, the other thing is that we brought in the rent freeze, and we've ended evictions, and we've also set up this system that if people fall into arrears on their rent for 60 days, that it's only after 60 days that a landlord can apply to the tenancy tribunal for a hearing, and the tenancy tribunal has to take into account the COVID-19 crisis. You know, I think it's really important that students know that that support is there for them, and that that is designed for them as well, and to make sure that they're taking that up.
Last week we also touched a bit on climate change, and I was hoping to keep talking about that today.
Obviously, I'm always happy to talk about climate change.
Yeah, always happy. Obviously, leaning into, you know, what's going to happen post alert level 4, what are you hoping to see in terms of the way infrastructure is being set up again, businesses are being set up again, in terms of a more climate-friendly approach?
Well, you know, I've been pushing on this quite hard in the media the last few days is to try and get the message out there that we cannot afford to rebuild the economy exactly as it was before the COVID-19 crisis. And it's an entirely understandable instinct that people just want things to go back to the way that they were before the crisis, right? So, but the way that I see it is, in order to get through the crisis, we're borrowing tens of billions of dollars off, actually, you, Sherry, because it's going to take decades for us to repay the debt that we're running up in order to get through the crisis. Now, at the same time, failing to stop the climate crisis is also borrowing off future generations, right, in order to fund today's kind of economy and lifestyle. And so I think that we've got a moral responsibility if we're going to be borrowing this money off future generations and spending it to get through the COVID crisis, then we have a moral responsibility to ensure that that money is spent on minimizing the cost to future generations of climate change. And so, for example, in housing, construction for housing employs more people than construction for roads or kind of other infrastructure, which is largely built with machines. We know that we've got to build more houses anyway, and we know that the houses that we build have got to be higher quality, they've got to be warmer, more energy efficient and so on than the ones that we've done before. So as part of the rebuild, why don't we prioritize building houses, because that's a long-term crisis anyway, that a long-term challenge that we've got to fix anyway, build them to the highest quality standard and employ more people, lower people's future energy bills, you know, create a more sustainable society and so on. We can actually take the opportunity represented the kind of need to spend tens of billions of dollars to actually create a better future than the business as usual scenario that we were on.
And I wanted to also touch on public transport specifically as well, because I saw that Julianne Genta announced that, you know, post COVID-19 there's going to be a footpath and cycleway extension. What's your kind of thoughts on that? Do you think that's enough in terms of...
Yeah, so we know, I mean, that there's a sort of short, medium and long-term view of this, right, which is we know that when we come out of level 4 and people start to move around again, many of them will be reluctant to use public transport because of the proximity to other people. So we're still going to need to maintain a level of physical distancing from people to minimize the risk of further outbreaks of the virus. You know, if you've been through walks around the city, you'll notice it's actually quite hard to maintain a 2-meter distance from other people who are also walking around. And so what Julianne Gent has announced is funding available to councils to essentially put in widening of footpaths and cycleways to enable people to get around, but also to maintain that level of physical distancing. And then in the kind of medium to longer term, again, a bit like housing, we know that as the country gets back on its feet, particularly in Auckland, where you've got such huge congestion problems, that we were going to need to do something about the transport system anyway. And the most efficient way to move people and freight around is with public transport. So that is going to be one of the areas that we want to invest in heavily.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire. That was-